Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
President Obama was in Springfield today launching his bid for the White House 9 years ago in the exact same place. Oh, he went outside to the statue of Abraham Lincoln.
It was outside 9 years ago. All the political reporters remember how cold they were, but this time it was inside.
He was actually in the chamber of the House legislature today, which is otherwise known as a federal corrections day room. He spoke about the partisan divide that has marked so much of his time in office, and it's something he hoped it would get fixed during his administration.
What's different today is the nature and the extent of the polarization, how ideologically divided the parties are, and is brought about by some of the same long-term trends in our politics and our culture. The parties themselves have become more homogeneous than ever. A great sorting has taken place. It drove Southern conservatives out of the Democratic Party, Northern moderates out of the Republican Party. So you don't have within each party as much diversity of views.
And that I think everyone just sort of thought, you know, hey, this is a lesson in civility. But it's like, it's sort of, don't you feel, just going to fall on deaf ears? I mean, he's made these speeches in Washington, too, and nothing's happened. And well, I mean, you think in Springfield they're going to listen?
Yeah, no. First of all, they're in Springfield going, hey, let's get our picture with the president.
Yeah, here he is. Did you put that on Instagram?
Yeah. I mean, that's all they're doing there. And it's not as though there is going to be any kind of reconciliation based on him going down there. Now, you two, now listen, you're going to get along. Spruce Rauner, you're going to get along. You're going to play nice. Cullerton, Madigan, play nice. It's not going to happen. Right.
Coming in and saying,
what is he
everyone
doing?
Get along now, okay?
Yeah, it's
wow. Okay, you two downers. I mean, you have to try.
No, I believe me. I love
and
the rhetoric.
He is the president.
I know, but don't,
like, it's going to happen though.
The part that I loved in the speech to Judy's point was when he said, "This isn't about political gamesmanship. Let's remember that these are lives, and sometimes the most vulnerable amongst us that are being hurt by these games." And I think we all sort of know that, but you just sort of throw up your arms and say, "I don't know that that's going to change anything. I wish it would."
Well, but you and you should. We should hear it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can see what kind of mom you are.
Don't
Judy.
Act like
I'm
going to
keep telling
like I'm a
you.
Dreamer. And it's funny your take on the president's speech and our take here in the newsroom because we carried it live. We were all laughing and oh, he's so cool. And you know, it was like our guy who came home. You know, he's from here, and we looked at it a lot different than you're looking
That's
at it.
That's fine. I mean, as a piece of history, of him arriving, you know, coming back to the place where it all
he's
began.
He's so much more sure of himself. I mean, he is like so at ease now, and you know, because he's done.
Right.
So
no question.
He's not done because he's still got a year and 11 months left in
which
all kinds of hell could break loose.
It doesn't matter. He's done.
And
can't
he's
blame
gotta,
him anymore.
But you got to. Well, it's not about blaming him. He still has to be the president of the United States. He's got the stuff he's got to do. Right. He's got to sign things.
Like come to Illinois and say shape up.
Yeah. Okay. And that's going to happen.
I wish it would make a difference because he is the president. You wish that it would.
Well, maybe it didn't fall on deaf ears.
There's always hope.
Have you met these numb nuts down there? Do you know what's going on? All right. Hold on. Listen to this. It's about the media.
And you've got a fractured media. Some folks watch Fox News. Some folks read the Huffington Post. And very often, what's profitable is the most sensational conflict and the most incendiary soundbites. And we can choose our own facts. We don't have a common basis for what's true and what's not. I mean, if I listened to some of these conservative pundits, I wouldn't vote for me either. I sound like a scary guy.
Now, what's interesting is he's talking about and he mentioned in the first cut that we played, this idea of the sorting of Americans. Mm-hmm. They've sorted along these lines of mutual thought. So, and this is all written in a book called The Big Sort from 2004. A guy named Bill Bishop It's a groundbreaking book about what actually happened here. Didn't get a ton of traction, but it's a great read, and it's a really interesting look at how media, by starting to by redesigning itself to appeal to specific lanes of thought, conservatives with Fox News, liberals with MSNBC.
Well, it's almost like you're stirring up a base. You're appealing to a bunch of people who want to be told these are your talking points because you already believe right. it, where it used to be a little more balanced everywhere.
Well, I mean, but the argument was and
that it never really was.
And that talk radio is interesting because talk radio had been doing it for 30 years prior to that. I mean, you could start in the 1960s with Joe Pine and work your way through Morton Downey, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, all the, you know, the fire brands,
yeah.
you know, who've done that. And what happened was that in the 1980s into the 90s, Roger Ailes thought, hey, wait a second. Here's an opportunity to do this on television with the expansion, especially after 1996, with the expansion of cable television, that there was now all of a sudden you have an opportunity to do that. And so in The Big Sort, Bill Bishop tells the story of how, and again, the president is echoing what is the premise of the book, which is that the parties now have become totally divided, and now even within or totally focused singularly around certain thought issues, and now they're splintering even along that. The Republicans can't keep their party together. They used to say the Democratic Party was like herding cats. It is, but Republicans are just as, you know, like it's a cat circus. It's a flea circus.
Mm-hmm. And adding to the divisiveness, I think, is that your own analytics now, or your history, your search history, is kind of feeding stories to you that are already of your particular thought. And so the news that people are exposed to sometimes, if you get a lot of your news online or in your feeds on different social media, is going to be pretty narrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, one person might hate Bernie Sanders, one might love Bernie, and based on your history of who you follow and what you like, you'll get fed either hate stuff about Bernie or you'll get a lot of positive things about
right.
Bernie.
It just reinforces. It's news that will now reinforce whatever
your
opinion
own belief
is. Yeah.
Which is a weird place to be, if you think about it.
News that will reinforce your own dumb opinion. And that's all we need. Is we need more of that as opposed to
dumb opinions?
Well, the thing is that people at a certain age, people stop deciding that they want to have new information given to them. They do want to just be agreed with. They want their TV to agree with them.
I guess, but
that is so true.
It's true, but I mean, my gosh, I mean,
they don't want to be enlightened anymore. They just want to believe what they want to believe.
Right. They've seen enough. They've got all right, you know, and they've been lied to enough or fooled enough or seen things and predictions about the future that didn't come true or things that they thought weren't going to work that did. And they're like, yeah, you know what? I know what I know. And
that's enough.
So that's why I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, which brings us to
number four.
How did we get there? Was that the logical conclusion?
I don't know. Fresh off his first election victory, Donald Trump spoke to the Today Show carefully about his ability to win the White House.
Are you now the favorite to be the next president of the United States?
That I don't know. I don't want to talk about favorites. I think we're doing very well. We have something very special. 2 days ago, I was in South Carolina. We filled up a stadium. It was packed with people. And just there's something going on. It's a movement. People want to see a smart country. They want to see us take the country back. They want to see great deals, not horrible deals. We lose money with trade. We can't win with the military. We can't beat ISIS. Think of General George Patton not being able to beat ISIS. It doesn't work that way. And they want to see smart things happen for our country. You know, I said it last night, we don't win anymore.
You know, I wonder how the the folks at the Special Operations Command in Tampa or the guys on the ground,
mm-hmm.
SEAL Team 6 or any of the Marine Recon or any of those guys who are and any of the other places, the people who are in West Africa taking on Boko Haram that no one talks about, the war that no one is paying any attention to,
mm-hmm.
where we have thousands of personnel dedicated to dealing with West Africa right now, and hundreds of our own special forces there,
mm-hmm.
the stuff we've got going on in Syria and all that. I wonder, how do they like that? Like, we can't beat anybody. When, quite honestly, we kick ass all day long. In those situations, it's just, but you're spraying for you know, pardon the expression here, but you're spraying for roaches. I mean, it's very hard. You know, so you spray in one place, and they pop up somewhere else. I mean, it's a never ending. It's not something that he's going to be able to solve without nuking the rest of the world, and that's not going to work. So, but anyway, but this is to me the most interesting part.
Yeah, there was something really interesting he said too.
Listen to this about taxes.
When are you going to release your tax returns?
Probably over the next few months. They're being worked on right now.
What's the holdup?
They're very big tax returns. The biggest, I guarantee you this, the biggest ever in the history of what we're doing. So it's a very complicated step, but we'll be releasing them.
Will people be surprised at the rate that you pay?
I think they'll be surprised at how little I pay.
Lower or higher than expected?
No, they're going to be surprised at how little I pay. I fight like hell not to pay a lot of tax. And you know what? Every politician probably does. I watched others where they say, oh, I want to pay tax. I fight like hell not to pay tax. I hate the way the government spends my money.
This is the beauty of Trump. He takes what to any other candidate would be a negative, a billionaire who doesn't pay much tax. Well, and he turns it into a positive saying, well, I'm proud of that because the government doesn't spend my money correctly. It's like, how is that a positive?
Bernie Sanders is like, I told you this. This is what I'm talking about
right
here. This is the guy right here who's not paying any of his taxes. And he's the 1% that I'm telling you about. Here's my new Ben and Jerry's flavor.
My favorite with Bernie is New Hampshire. It's like an S-H-A at the end of it. New Hampshire.
And now I'm in South Carolina. I've never been. I'm schwitzing already down here. It's very humid. Very humid. I don't know. I think I'm having a palpitation.
He gave a great speech last night, that Bernie. And then he said that I'm not going to go to New York to raise money. I'm going to raise money right now. And please give. And then 5 million people gave last night to Bernie Sanders.
No, $5 million.
$5 million, excuse me.
It was raised last night in just a very short period of time. Violetta Podromedic has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Sports right now.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best where you like to eat. What Chicago's Best Sunday at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV, your pick. Just might be Chicago's best.
Top 5 at 5 continues checking in at
number 3.
For the second time in the past week, Blackhawks had a questionable goal taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Only this time it came back to haunt them. After Brandon Machinter. Yeah, you call him Machinter? Machinter,
yeah.
Machinter.
What's his nickname? Does he like Mashy or something?
Probably Mashy, yeah. Everything's okay. A Y or something like that, yeah.
The Masher.
The Masher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders would call him. Brandon Michigana.
Did you hear the MSNBC host mispronounce Bernie Sanders last night? Sandwich.
Yeah. Bernie Machinter appeared to have scored the first goal of the game against the Sharks last night, and officials waved it off. They said there was goaltender interference by Dennis Rasmussen following a coach's challenge. Now, Coach Q, not happy.
No.
Frustrating again to get what you think is a early lead goal taken away like that?
Yeah, it's gotten to a different level. I don't know the rules anymore or something's changed because, my understanding, played a lot of hockey, that I don't know. I mean, I think everybody has an interpretation of what's a good goal and what's a bad goal, but I can't believe it.
He walks away.
He was hot, man. Yeah. He walks away.
Hands in the air, waving around like you just don't care.
Mm-hmm. And he just didn't. Checking in at
number 2.
Oh, man. Last night in the FX series, The People versus O.J. Simpson. You got to catch this.
I have to. It's great, right? You said the acting is tremendous.
Yeah, some of the acting is tremendous, and some of the acting is outrageously bad. And it is so much fun. Although, I don't know if it's bad. Is John Travolta playing Robert Shapiro?
He's good in anything.
It's a characterization, but it's it's outlandish, what you see.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, though. They reenacted the slow speed chase. Malcolm Jamal Warner, remember him from The Cosby Show? Plays A.C. Cowlings, Simpson's best friend and the driver of the Bronco, and he told ABC News it was cool, but really disturbing to film on a shut down freeway in L.A.
You feel like a badass, but also I tell you what's also unsettling is even though I know we're shooting TV, but when you're driving and you're looking in your rearview mirror and your side view mirror and you see 20 cop cars behind you, lights flashing, it's very unsettling.
I bet.
By the way,
real.
That's for everybody. By the way, just in case everybody's wondering. That is just a singular experience.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm a doughy middle-aged white guy, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I see that behind me. I'm having the same experience. All right, here's Cuba Gooding Jr. talking about doing that scene.
Emotional, just, I would look at the back of that Bronco and that step back seat. I go, what the hell did I do to deserve to be here right now? Sticking that gun in my mouth, take after take. Whoa, brutal.
He plays O.J. Simpson. And no,
how does he do with
physically,
O.J.?
He's not anything like O.J. No. Simpson, but he plays the emotions of O.J. or the way that this series is portraying O.J. to be, this kind of bipolar, crazy, emotional guy.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the emotions perfectly. The pitch is exactly right.
In case you're wondering, the Kardashian sisters have already responded to say that, just for the record, they did not applaud when the not guilty verdict came down, as they apparently showed in the...
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, and spoiler alert, no. He's not guilty? All right, hold on. Finally.
Number one.
Johnny Depp, no stranger to outlandish film roles, but he's never tried his hand nor hair at the newly crowned New Hampshire GOP primary winner Donald Trump, until now.
The Art of the Deal!
Courtesy of the comedy site Funny or Die, Johnny Depp stars in a four-hour-long spoof called Funny or Die Presents Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal. Depp plays Trump alongside an impressive slate of Hollywood regulars, including Ron Howard and... yes, Alf.
Before I got Alf, I was a destructive mess. I was a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. I was all alone. I had no friends, no family. And just when I was at my darkest point, there was one man who shined a light on me. A man who made me believe in myself again. I know, Donald, I could never repay you for what you've done. But I will die crying. I love you, Donald Trump.
You know what? You too, Alf. You are the only illegal alien I truly love.
Speaking of actors who look nothing like their character, though, did you see how they transformed Johnny Depp to look exactly like Donald Trump? I don't know how they did that.
I said 4 hours long. It's an hour long. 4 hours. 4 hours seems like it would be a long time. That was
to
my
sit
mistake.
And watch anything,
yeah,
but really.
it's an hour long thing, and they got it's awesome.
Getting a lot of buzz. Must be quite funny.
All right, let's close this up.
The top five at five.